This gramophonic recording of And Time is brought to you by Prognosis Death. Set in St. Love Hospital in the town of St. Love, something strange, something supernatural, is affecting the good residents of St. Love, and it will be up to the hospital's finest to work out how to battle the infections, plagues, and outbreaks that threaten the town's existence. What horror? Well, that is up to you, the audience, to decide. A different show every night, starting on Thursday, the 22nd of January, and continuing each Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night for 2 weeks. Prognosis. Death. More information can be found by activating your Informatron and directing one's browsergram to www.impromafia.com. Prognosis. Death.
The opinions expressed on End Time do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Impro Mafia. But just because I'm wholly accountable for my actions isn't going to stop me. Impro Mafia presents End Time!
Saying, because there's been parts of the podcast where I've been like, where I've had to bleep stuff. Which I'm sure drives you crazy.
You know he only does it to shit you.
He's emailed me to say, what was it that you cut out there? I'm like, I can't tell you.
And was it my name? Was it Pixie Hope? Is that what you said? Was it about me?
We were talking about something and we just cut off abruptly. And we just cut off in our discussion abruptly. But Peter's like, what was it that you cut out about me? I'm like, I'm sorry, that's it. That's the whole thing. Ladies and gentlemen, Alicia Wedderman.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Now, Alicia is one of our newer players. One of the cuter players. Peter C. Haywood. Put in more effort. Nothing gets cut out in this thing. It's going to be 4 hours of complete lunacy.
We should amp it up a little so that when Frank listens to it.
So are you enjoying the party?
I'm enjoying the party a lot, actually.
Yeah, what are we up to now? 1:48. Jeez, it's almost 2 in the morning. Mm. It was just after 12 a moment ago, I'm sure. Fucking Katie Hall. Well, welcome to End Time. Are you a fan of the podcast?
I am a fan of the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I know that Frank.
I listen to him on the train.
Ah, nice. I know that Frank was making his own podcast for a while, but never actually published it.
No, there was one that was recorded.
Yeah.
And then vanished.
Yes.
Vanished into the depths of his hard drive.
Ah.
Don't know what he's titled it. Couldn't bring it back if I wanted to.
No. That's a shame.
Yeah.
If you do find it, send it across to us and we'll publish it on End Time. And he'll be quite horrified to hear it.
And I'll be divorced.
Yes. Goodness, so you're a married woman.
I am, 2 years this week.
And you're married to another improviser.
I know, I hear that's a little unusual.
It's,
what was the best moment?
Oh, the best
moment. Podcast wise.
The best moment was where a gigantic secret that was shared between me and the person recording was brought out in the open and recorded. And the other person was horrified that it was on tape now. I can't even begin to tell you what happened. I'm sure Peter has pored over that audio numerous times because part of it was bleeped and then put in part of it, and I just can't even tell you. I'm trash.
But did you use it to your advantage?
I am fucked, Alicia.
I'm a bit disappointed. Peter brings you in a glass of wine. What am I? Pork chop?
Peter, chop chop.
Glass of that? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Now
Peter fucking C. Haywood. Peter Cockbite Haywood.
Ugh. And he is going to be wondering the whole time he's out there.
What did they cut from the final recording? It's taped somewhere.
So are you enjoying the party? Have you got some good podcast material?
Yes, I've got stacks of
insights.
Stuff. I've got no idea whether any of it's good.
Any good?
But I look forward to editing all 3-4 hours of it.
Impro-based?
No,
largely.
It meanders.
Gossip? Yeah.
It meanders. I'm not missing out on being out there because I'm getting to spend one-on-one time in here anyway. I am missing being in the air conditioning.
It's balmy.
It's like a sauna in
it's
here.
It's balmy.
Yeah, in more ways than one. So, yes, you live with an improviser.
I do.
Now, most of the people from Impro Mafia who have partners who put up with the fact that their partner is an improviser rather than delight in the fact that their partner is an improviser. So what is it like in the world of Frank and Alicia?
Thank you.
Like, do you guys practice character voices up? I know that when I lived with Wade for a couple of months, that he was constantly doing character voices.
It's funny, you know, we don't. The only time we've done it recently was driving to, must have been a performance and running late, so decided to do a bit of a warm-up in the car. And Fred Schneidered it.
B-52s.
Yes.
Fred. He, Roy Schneider. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not Fred Schneider?
Yeah, it's Fred.
It is. Oh, I said Roy. Yeah, yeah. I got confused.
You are.
Hey, Fred Schneider. I am. I've had a few.
A few quiet beverages.
Well, that was the goal of the evening and the podcast, was to have enough wine that I started to really lose control. I really should have a bit of water at some point. Pete, could you go get me? Pete. He hates that.
It's nice. It suits you.
It does. It doesn't. He's not cool enough to be Pete. He's Peter. Peter. That sounded really awful, actually. That was so mean. Yeah, well, I'm too trash to listen. Did I say no? Oh, Jesus, I need some water, Peter.
Yeah, pretty quick smile.
And some Panadol. So you did a bit of a Fred Schneider in the car.
In the car.
How's your Fred Schneider coming?
It's developing.
How's your Fred Schneider going?
It's not as good as that. That was good.
I can't believe that people can't do that. It sounds really arrogant for me to go, oh, you people suck at doing Fred Schneider. But I was actually really surprised because it's one of those things that I've always found so easy to mimic. It didn't even cross my mind to question that people had trouble. And then when I saw people having trouble, I was going, wow, is that like some skill that I have?
Yeah, it is. It
is that something
out.
I should put on my resume? So how's yours?
It's not great.
Yeah,
it's
have a go.
Okay, do it for me.
Hop in my car, and it's as big as a whale, and it's
a... And we're heading on down to the love shack.
That's not bad. That's not bad. It's getting there.
It needs some work.
It's two-thirds of the way there.
It needs some work.
It's much more nasal.
Mm.
And we're heading on down to the love shack, baby.
Yeah.
It's right up here.
Yeah.
Can you get it up here? Oh, shit. Why do I keep doing that? I keep calling him Pete, not Peter. Yeah, Peter C. Peter C.
Do you want to know what the C stands for?
Cockbite.
Bite, it turns out.
Something a bit ruder than that.
Enough out of you, Alicia. All right. So, how did you get into impro?
I went and saw some in Canberra.
Canberra?
Yeah.
There's entertainment in Canberra?
There is.
Other than the Mint?
Better than the Mint.
I love the Mint.
And the Mint is good.
Yeah.
So, type A personalities that only ever does things I know I'm going to be good at. And so I thought it's about time I started putting myself in situations where I'm not going to be any good at it.
Nice. This is why I started doing hip-hop dancing.
Well, shouts out to that.
Yeah.
Yep, same thing.
Raise the roof on that.
And so...
It's true, Dave. I was bad.
So that's it. So that was it. And I thought, well, no idea how to do that. So I had to get into a workshop. Felt sick going to it.
Oh, awesome.
I don't do drama. I've never done anything like that. Never performed. Felt like a spew. And then went to a workshop. I still get that feeling every time I perform.
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? Why the hell am I here? I'm an adult. No one can make me do this. Yeah, so I do like that. The idea of trying something completely different and having no idea how it was going to go.
I know that there was a comedian called Stephen Head, who's an amazing comedian, but every time he did a stand-up comedy, he would vomit beforehand. He was that anxious.
Yeah.
And he was amazing. He was really good. Oh, wow. That's Prisoner of Society by Living End.
Doesn't it bring people together?
It does.
Guitar Hero.
In my day, it was The Offspring with...
Self-esteem.
Self-esteem. Alicia, yeah. Are you my age?
How old are you?
I'm 32.
No, I'm much younger. Much younger.
Spring chicken.
28.
Very close.
It's a good year.
You're in year 8 when I was in year 11. That's pretty close.
I was. We couldn't have dated.
Not at the time.
You would have been that weird kid.
But we can now, Alicia.
It's true. I'm not ruling it out.
Other than the dual marriages thing. But hey, I'll invite you and Frank over. We'll put some car keys in a fishbowl. Bob's your uncle.
Bob's wine.
Yeah.
This impro thing. I heard this.
So yeah. What were your influences in comedy?
I'm loving Flight of the Conchords at the moment.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There is a certain charm to those guys.
Very much enjoying it.
What about when you were younger? The Goodies?
Yes. Yes.
Finally, someone likes The Goodies.
I don't know. I'll have to...
Friends?
I watched it.
Fawlty Towers?
No.
Black Books?
Love it.
Arrested Development?
Love it.
Oh, I love Arrested Development.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
What's something shit?
I love The Young Ones.
What's the one with the chick and the gay guy? Will and Grace?
No.
Yeah, I can't stand it myself.
Awful.
Seinfeld.
Do
I was on board with Seinfeld.
Yeah.
In fact, my nickname was Kramer for the first 4 years I was doing improv because my hair was like...
Can't imagine it. Mm-hmm. So what about your comedy?
My comedy? Well, thank you for asking, Alicia.
No one's asked so far. This is a conversation, Dan.
My comedy leanings would be certainly the goodies when I was young. I've always been mad keen into comics. So Calvin and Hobbes and The Far Side,
yeah.
Been crazy over. I certainly enjoyed Arrested Development and Black Books. And had a period of absurdist humour. So Monty Python's Flying Circus and Ren and Stimpy and Ink the Cat. Check out Savage. In fact, anything by Savage Steve Holland. The man is a genius. The Adventures of Beans Baxter. Superb comedy. I can't believe they acted after only season. In fact, if you want to know what I like, check out anything that lasted for 2 or 3 seasons that in America that was axed, or anything in England that after... Shut up! Fuck you! I've had too much to drink! Or anything on the BBC did that went brilliantly for 3 seasons and then they just stopped. 2 or 3 seasons and they just stopped because they had hit their peak. And I was addicted... Yeah. To The Late Show. The Late Show was the best sketch comedy. Until McCarr left. We'll get Dave on in a moment. Dave has not been a guest on End Time yet, but he's definitely going to be on soon as a full-time guest.
It's smoking in his seat.
Let's remember that we do still have Alicia here.
Did you want to jump up here? He really wants a microphone.
Yeah, he's really eager.
I've enjoyed my little puppy award. They're very cute, and that was right.
Yes. She had put a lot of work into them.
Yeah.
I remember talking to her on Instant Messenger last night. She was really starting to freak out.
The clip art.
She was freaking out. She'd had a very long day. Dave was very disappointed.
Mikey and I actually said this to Matt. We were very disappointed that there was no MC award, because we were definitely going to vote.
Put something out.
Hello.
Yeah, no, Mikey and I were very disappointed there was no MC award. We're going to vote Nat. Best MC, because we saw her a couple of months ago and she was really good. Like, she just knew how to introduce new games. And
was this at Royal Britannia where she was in a sailor suit?
I didn't see that one.
She was so ill in that. It was amazing. She should have been in bed. And she was on stage.
I think it was one of the shows at O'Malley's.
I heard she did one there, yeah.
Really sweet show at O'Malley's. Just that show, I just went, I don't know, was something about it. It was just like, she paced it really well, which I think is the most currently underrated emceeing skill, is being able to pace a show. MCs get so caught up in like doing their planned out shows that they forget about how to just move one scene onto the next. And I just like seeing MCs who know how to pace a show out well for the audience, because ultimately it's pretty much the audience that matters. That's it. Like, you can get all crazy about your fantastic offers, which can be fantastic. But anyway, that's all I have to say, really.
I don't think I've heard anything on emceeing on End Time now I'm really pissed on End Time yet. So
bye Peter C. Haywood is leaving. What's it like suddenly having to deal with improvisers?
It's an awful lot of fun.
Do you find it mad?
I find it can be intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very focused. I'm seeing more and more conversation that's not improv related. I'm getting on more of the gossip. So, yeah.
What sort of gossip have you been in privy to this evening?
This evening? Oh.
Or in general?
I'm disappointed by the lack of shagging, actually. I thought there'd be more of that. None of it happens in my work.
No, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Apparently it happened before I turned up.
Yeah. And then they just stopped.
There, for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Well, they gave up. They knew you were married.
Well, I wasn't at the time. Yeah, there's only been a couple of hookups since then in impro.
Yeah.
Although it was very exciting recently when you guys turned up.
Yeah.
And suddenly there were like half a dozen guys lusting after Amy.
Yeah.
Wasn't that crazy?
That was great to watch.
Yeah.
And you could sit back, put your money on them, see how they went.
Yep. And
naturally, because of her improvisation skills, she's very good to watch.
Yeah. Even when she's being hit on by 4 different guys. And someone won that. What's his name?
Court.
Ash. Yes, Ash won. And he has the prize, which is one of the most talented newcomers. She's terrifying at song.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah, very good. So it's been a bit of a surge on the impro scene this year. Lots of new players.
Yes. Well, that's what we need. Impro Mafia has been very exclusive for a long time.
Mm.
We have been 80% the same group of people mostly since 1999.
Mm.
And since then, we've had Alex and Big Sexy come in. And then we had Lauren and Mike not turn up.
Yep.
And then Tristan and Tom Lynch a couple of years after that. And then suddenly to have all this talent come through and really strong talent. Like, there's so many amazing personalities and so much amazing stuff coming out of you guys. Like, it's all raw and green, which is just the way we like it. And then in 2 or 3 years, you guys are really going to settle down and start bringing the goods to stage. And it's just going to be wonderful. Not that it's not wonderful now.
But like a different kind of wonderful.
Playing down O'Malley's is lots of fun. Especially when you guys go deer in headlights. Oh, I love that. Where there's just like this panic on stage. It's just like, now's Dan's time to shine.
Help me. Help. Help. Oh, God. Mm. Not that I found myself in that situation.
No, you've never been on stage going, I don't have a fucking clue what I'm going to do next.
I did. It was my first O'Malley show.
Yeah? What happened then?
It was a radio play. Tell me the story.
Oh, Jesus.
Were you there? Did you have I think I was in it.
I think I was off stage going, I don't know how to save these people.
It was magnificent. Magnificent.
The thing is, a radio play is a really hard game to do. They're really fucking hard. Because it's a different set of skills to the ones that you're being trained in. And so you could do it. My trick is to hold my hand up to my ear and then adopt a British accent. Hello and welcome to Night of the Third Bunyip.
I was trying that.
Oh, Jenkins, welcome to my room.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm a delight.
And then
all I had was a British accent and I was trying to work out somewhere how I was going to get the sound of horses travelling. But it never came because I was too busy standing there like a deer in headlights, going, what now? What happens next? Why am I moving around the stage?
You left the stage or something. This is a radio play and you left the stage.
I was miming.
Oh, yeah, that's what we want.
So that was... So having now professed to having not had a deer in headlights moment, that was it.
Yes, yes. All right, well, thank you very much, Alicia.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Are you off?
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock.
Sorry?
I got a job at Fiesta Ride up this weekend.
Another change jobs?
That's right.
Jeez, settle, man. Pizza delivery is going to be the best you're going to get.
I should have packed it in easier.
Yeah.
I never delivered pizzas, man.
Hey?
I never delivered pizzas.
No, you worked at a pizza thing, though, didn't you?
In their IT area.
Here we go. All right, well, say hello to the little Miss Sexy.
I will.
For me?
I will. I'll wake her up and I'll give one for you.
Pretend I'm dead. She's like, I always do. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome David Messingham.
Hello, thank you.
David Messingham, who was recently voted Impro Mafia's most favourite fun player to be fun with.
Don't forget that Dan was most recently voted...
most supportive player, and I've made mention of that about 3 times already in this podcast.
Most supportive, was it? And yeah. Greg Robotham coming here. Come in here. Come in.
Hello. Back again for 4th time, I think. Something like that.
I voted for you too.
Oh, thanks, man. I don't know who I voted for.
And Mike Skills.
Oh, I can't remember.
But also, as Nat herself mentioned, it's very impressive that of the new players that are coming through, all the new player awards went to females.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful feeling to have after the past years of misogyny.
Call me Mr. Cynical. But I can't help but feel that when a whole bunch of virgins vote for the cute chicks.
Note David's lack of laugh.
I like that. That's great.
David's so excited. He's like, oh, can I be on End Time? It'd be wonderful. And now he's in here. He's like, oh, my fuck. Greg is gone.
You're fuck?
Yes. Now I have to aim my jokes at him.
No, quite seriously, I was it's really great to have some great female players coming through at the moment, which I don't want to make it sound like it's something we haven't had in the past. We have, but we haven't had as many as we would like, and we've had...
The thing is, having a female on stage changes the dynamic.
Mm.
It changes any scene that's about a relationship between a man and a woman into an actual man and woman
as
scene,
opposed to
rather
like
than a gay,
Dan Beeson,
gay sex
like, playing
kissing
a woman and Dave playing this burly idiot.
Yeah,
like, it's that's a fake scene in a way.
Yes.
And even though if you've got, like, you know, Alicia playing a woman and Frank playing a man, that's more real.
Yeah.
On one level, but at the same time, it's just more fun. It gives a lot more range, a lot more freedom.
Yes. And it makes the certain things more obvious to the audience, which is always a good thing too.
Yeah.
No, you do a mime scene where one of you has to be a man and one of you has to be a woman, and you're going to do some horribly stereotyped mime in order to get across certain points.
Yeah, often involving like some hackneyed improv player.
Yeah.
Hoisting their hands cupped around their lower cleavage area, pretending that they're holding some. Have you done that?
I've never cupped my own breasts in a scene, I'm sure, but I do tend to put my hands on my hips to display
and kind of like sway from side to side.
And my lips.
Yeah.
I'm doing it now because that's going to help with.
Oh yeah. But there's no denying that you rely on archetypes to some degree.
Yeah.
In pro, as any kind of character, you're going. Play an old man, and you're like, I'm going to bend over, crook my back, and I'm going to pretend I'm holding a walking cane or slash some kind of walking frame thing, and I'm going to lower my bottom lip, and I'm going to speak with a slight drool, and that's your character. You're going to automatically resort to some kind of stereotype, archetype.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So you enjoy the party tonight?
I have a lot, actually, yeah. I enjoyed the entire night.
Yeah.
It's been.
I'm sad it's already after two or something.
It is, yeah. But it's look, crazy. I've got nothing to do tomorrow, so I'm quite happy.
No, I'm happy. Well, last year, I went through till five and then went down to the Pancake Manor. Wrote off my entire Saturday.
So did I. That's right. I came with you. Yeah. That was quite fun. Yeah. I could do it again.
Yeah. I just can't believe that I've been here for 3 or 4 hours doing podcasts and stuff.
How much have you spent inside this room?
Most of it.
Most of it, yeah.
I've been out for maybe all of 10 minutes.
You jack of dickheads like me coming in and saying, when am I going to podcast?
No, you're my favourite of all, Dave.
Yeah, but the other ones.
Oh, yeah, those dickheads.
Yeah.
No, it's been really wonderful because the thing is, all I'd be doing out there is the same thing I'm doing in here, but just without a microphone.
Mm. Have you been leaving it alive for people to do their own sort of...
Only once when Wade and Tay decided to take over when I needed a break.
See, I could see it. Mike's skills, and I know Alicia's already gone. She just popped into the room, but who else? Frank. Has Frank gone on yet?
Frank hasn't gone on yet.
So Frank and Mike's skills could host the podcast for a bit. I think that'd be pretty amusing. I trust them.
Yeah,
right. I don't know Frank that well. And
I'm sure they can do a fine job.
Michael that much.
Although, Tay and Wade seemed particularly embarrassed. They were like, oh my God, what have we done?
It is weird, though. Like, I've got used to holding this microphone in front of me very quickly. Mm. When you first gave it to me, I was like, I have to speak directly into a microphone? This is weird. And now I'm having what is fairly vaguely, but still vaguely approximating a conversation.
Yeah. I'm feeling very casual in this one. Mm. Like, usually I do feel that sort of sense of anxiousness to get a good thing out, but this one I know that I'm like, I'm trying
You know I've got nothing to say.
Yeah. I've got like 5 hours of nothing. Audio, and I've got to whittle this back to 35 minutes, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
So, who have you learned improv from who you haven't been particularly impressed with?
Well, look, I started doing improv at the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Mikey, who's one of the Improv Mafia core members, started doing it when I was in grade 9. So that would have been year 95, 96, around then.
Yeah.
And we learned through the high school system. So we had like people teaching us outside of high school who came in and were hired by the school / like organized it outside of the school.
Yep.
And then after that, we got bunked in with you lot. So that was
you. Were doing stuff with Kirsten?
Yeah, Kirsten McCauley, who's one of the sort of like the doyens of impro.
Re-dinosaurs.
Yeah, re-dinosaurs, I suppose. But I get along really well with Kirsten. I think she's
lovely. No, she's wonderful. I ascribe to Kirsten all of the greatest impro rules that I ever learned.
Yeah, Kirsten's a wonderful teacher. She taught basically all of the classes that were forced upon high school students. Like they let the impro teacher, the school teachers do it to a degree, and then they had like one or two classes per term, which were taken by the Impro Mafia, by the Theatre Sports Queensland tutors, of which
nice Pearson Freudian was slip.
Impro Mafia.
Wade will be pleased.
Well, actually, I was trying to remember when I was thinking about this earlier today. When did Impro Mafia start? Was it 2004? 2003? While you mull on that, I'll quickly go back and I'll finish the gaps there for you. I started out with those people in up till the end of 99, and then I joined the Improv Troupe that included Dan Beeston and Wade Robinson and people like that at Hub Cafe, and then I followed you guys through until other people were more committed, and they actually formed a sort of a Improv Troupe called Improv Mafia, and then I said, yes, I'll hitch my wagon onto that. And
ride these beautiful coattails.
That were exactly my words. Spoilt by the new wealth of players that have come through.
Yeah.
some fantastic players. It's really, really lovely. And as I've been saying to another people,
I like putting them in their place.
Sorry, what's that?
I like putting them in their place.
Next
Tell
year,
them how
I,
green they are and how shit they are.
Next year, I'm really keen on doing that.
Okay.
Because I want to see, not put new players in their place, I just want to see people get back into the habit of giving each other strong notes.
Okay.
But I'll get back to that in a second, because I'm going to give this to that guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Wagner.
Trainer.
Trainer?
Yeah.
Wait, so what's Alicia's name?
Whitman.
Oh, all right.
We have different names.
That's so new school. Welcome, Frank. I'm glad to get you on for a moment, despite the fact Alicia is desperately pleading to get you home, even though it's only 2:30.
Yeah. I think there's a chance of secondary taxis.
But I'm glad to get you on, A, because I would like to find out how you got into impro in the first place, and B, because you're the one who inspired the second question, the what are the comedy influences, which you sent me an email about months ago.
All right.
So, how did you get into impro in the first place?
I got into impro because a friend of ours, when we lived in Canberra, had some friends who were doing impro.
Yeah.
And they were doing, I think, the very first or second show in Canberra.
Yeah.
And we went along and had a look at it.
Yeah.
And really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So, when we moved up to Brisbane about 18 months ago, decided to go along and we lived near Stone's Corner where there was a show at the time.
Ah, yes.
And went along and ended up going pretty much every week for months.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't remember you at all from there.
Well, I didn't introduce myself, except for one time when I was really drunk, and then I made a fool of myself. So that was kind of embarrassing.
I'd be glad to know I don't remember it.
Yeah, I'm very pleased about that. went along, and then there were classes available. So and Alicia had always been very keen to do those.
Yeah.
And I was quite interested.
You can feel free to move out of the room to have your conversation. It's nice and cool out there.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Fucktards. And
and I'd done a lot of writing before. It's a hobby of mine.
You're a writer?
Yeah, yeah. But never any sort of performance, and I'd always kind of... I'd run a mile before doing that sort of stuff.
Ah, okay.
So I thought I would try doing something to take me out of my comfort zone, to use an Oprah-ism. And so I did, and it's been really good, like a very weird sensation to get up on stage and do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And... to go, I don't need to be doing this, but do it anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah. I remember enjoying performing with you for the first time in your graduation class.
Yeah.
That was good fun. I was like, yeah, this Frank, he's got his head around it.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
I may have then. I'm not sure about lately.
Nah, well.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
Yeah. And comedy influences?
Comedy influences, Frank.
That's a very hard and broad question.
Well, what inspired you when you were a kid? What were you excited about? Ninja Turtles?
No, I guess I was a Monty Python fan.
Ah, Monty Python. We've had that come up a couple of times tonight.
The guys who did the Comic Strip Presents.
Oh, all right.
The young ones.
Adrian Edmondson and...
Yeah, and Rick Mayall and those guys. And so the young ones and I guess Blackadder to a certain extent.
I loved the young ones.
Yeah.
I remember watching them in grade 4. I must have been like 9 years old or something. Yeah. I was all over it.
I remember watching them because the ABC was running them in about like the late 80s, early 90s and thinking they were good. But then watching them 4 or 5 years ago, and you can never go back, but with the young ones you nearly can because they break the fourth wall all the time.
Brilliant stuff.
It's really, really good, yeah.
Very clever.
Yeah. And more recently, I guess.
Not with Hey Dad.
Not
you go back
as
to Hey
much.
Dad and it's like...
Simone Buchanan, though, does still stand up on Neighbours. So.
What?
And also, I would say, more recently, stuff like Sean McAuliffe. He's a...
Nice.
I think he's... Yeah, at least half his stuff is really, really good.
Yeah, nice. So. Yeah, the wonderful thing is how creative and experimental he is.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes the shit he comes out with is insane, and sometimes it's just insane but brilliant.
Yeah.
I love Newstopia. Yeah. I wish I remembered to watch it each week.
Yeah, I struggle to do that. But,
fucking SBS.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting it's there on the dial. I forget to watch television. Fucking internet.
Yeah. But I've got all the old, like, the McAuliffe program shows and stuff like that. And they're all... Some of the stuff goes too far, and some of it maybe doesn't go quite as far as it could, but there's a sweet spot in the middle there that's really good to see. So.
Have you had a chat to Liam Amor yet?
No, I have not.
No, you haven't got
that
shy.
Opportunity?
Yeah. He's in the McAuliffe, you know.
Yeah. He and Jason Gaffney, I think?
Jason Geary.
Geary, there you go. Yeah, to see... Like, he looked familiar at the festival, but I couldn't place him until afterwards, and I'm like, fuck, if I'd known who it was, I would have, seen how much I liked the stuff that he'd done.
Yeah. Oh, this is the thing. I saw him down in Melbourne when I went down, and I saw him before the show, and I was like, That guy looks really familiar, and if when I figure it out, it's going to freak me out, so I'm just going to pretend I haven't noticed him. And after the show, I'm like, I'm sorry, you seem really familiar to me, but I can't quite pick it. And he goes, this ad? And I'm like, no. And he goes, McAuliffe show? And I'm like, that'd be it.
Yeah, going, you used to have hair.
Oh, my fucking God, Jesus. Jason Geary, oh, my God, you're a legend.
So, yeah.
It's so sad how easily starstruck I am. Oh, well, I'm slowly settling in. But basically, my biggest thing is that for ages, I was like totally starstruck and I wanted to be totally cool. I never wanted to be that guy. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm going to be totally cool. It's like, oh, yeah, you're from the Barenaked Ladies? Cool. Yeah, you're all right. Yeah, no, I'm Dan. I'm cool. Yeah, I'm just like one of you guys. No, you just go over there and talk to those blondes and I'll be like here at the bar. Yeah, I'm cool. Yeah. And then I keep missing out on getting to fawn over them. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck that shit. I missed out on getting to fawn over the Barenaked Ladies. I missed out on getting to fawn over Angie Hart from Frente. And then Yahtzee.
Oh, yeah.
Yahtzee from Zero Punctuation came up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fawn like a fucking anime fangirl. And I did. And he's never coming back to Impro. He's terrified. So I think I've done my job.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I saw him there and I'd never heard of him, you know, in a million years. And then ended up checking out his website afterwards and I've just gone, well, now I've missed my chance to fawn over him.
Mm-hmm.
Very disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Hmm. All right, well, thank you very much for joining us, Frank.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
I'm sorry to hear that your wife is, like, whipping you and getting you to take her home.
It's very disappointing.
That's fucking weak. You need to put that bitch in her place.
Wade's been giving me some tips, so I might take him up on
that. Yeah? You should probably run that by Susan.
Yeah, I'll do that, obviously. All right.
Thanks for joining me, Frank. Just grab Dave again, because we didn't finish with him.
I like him. Older than me.
Yeah.
Have...
Welcome back, David Messicam.
Ooh, hello.
Now we figured out how you got into improv in the first place. It was a high school thing.
Yes. So you're talking about, last question you asked me was, what are my comedy influences?
Yes.
My dad's an opera singer. And he likes the finer things in life, inverted commas, around.
Culture.
Yeah. So he weaned me on shows like Forty Towers and the classic British comedy shows.
Classic British sitcom.
So, like, yes, the Minister, yes, Prime Minister.
Oh, jeez, that
which
was
good. I think, if you look at them today, they're beautifully written scripts.
Beautiful scripts.
And so you look at the sort of stuff that I do on stage and the stuff I write as well, it's really definitely connected to that stuff.
Yeah.
But that said, I also like silly buggers like The Goodies, I adore.
Mm-hmm.
And Monty Python.
Yeah.
There's a lot of British stuff in my orvia as well.
Yeah.
I love British comedies and I don't really connect to much Australian output.
Yeah. Late Show?
Late Show I like.
Yeah.
Late Show, DJ, and I really like. I like bits of...
Comedy Sale?
Comedy who?
The Comedy Sale?
Don't know them.
They lasted 3 weeks.
No, the good stuff. Oh,
that were derivative of the Comedy Company, I think.
Yeah, I can't even say.
I can't
really say I like much of them. I like bits of Full Frontal and Fast Forward, but only little bits. Like I can't really.
No, they're pretty weak.
I like bits of Chasers.
Yeah, I've never been a big
Chaser. I found them pretty forced, and they're kind of like relying on their shtick too much. As writers, I don't find them very strong.
There are a couple of ideas that were very strong, but those are the ones that hit dig.com, like the Trojan horse sketch, where they try to get a Trojan horse into like Channel 9 studios to find out whether people had learned their lesson about the history, and the Turkish embassy wouldn't let them in.
Yeah, that's right.
But Channel 9 did.
There's stuff like that where they're quite clever in the way, and I think Chaz in particular is actually quite charming. I think he's got a fair deal of comic. But for me, most of my inspiration comes from British stuff, with a major, huge exception of one Australian comedian, Sean McAuliffe, who's so completely up his own ass. I love it. I love his own ass, but I would.
Is he arrogant, do you think?
No. Well, actually, I've heard some people that I know who've met him have said he is, but I've known some people who've met him who said he isn't. So I would say no.
Yeah.
Hearsay would say maybe yes.
Yeah.
I think he's up his own ass, as in, like, he's got his own style of comedy that is in no way acceptable to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But he is going to follow the trail up through his anus and find all the comedy that is therein,
before...
What a bizarre usage of the word up his own ass.
Yeah. No, he's pretty much everything Sean McAuliffe does will make me laugh. I don't think there is a better comedian in Australia, and I can't think of better ones in the world, to be honest. Like, I love Sean McAuliffe.
Nice.
He's my...
You're a bit of a Keno.
I am. But I'm not really a huge Keno on many other comedians. It's
okay.
He's the only one operating alive that I can really think. I think of people like Mitchell and Webb, who I think is fantastic. He's
yep.
a modern British comedian. The Big Train group, which
yes, I love Big Train.
Like 6 or 7 years ago now. Yeah. They were fantastic. And Simon Pegg.
Yeah,
Simon
Pegg was involved in that. I didn't realize that until I went that to
Simon
it.
Simon Pegg? He's funnier than you.
Oh, that's very sweet that I'd be even compared to Simon Pegg.
Precisely. If somebody said, yeah, you're funnier than...
I like the notion that someone could even consider that I could be more funny than Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg is wonderful. Nick Frost is almost as wonderful.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright, who directs that shit, is...
a cock smoker.
No, he makes them look good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's, I suppose that's my basic comedy resume comes from...
Yeah. I love
British
Hot Fuzz.
Shit with McAuliffe.
Hot Fuzz was just a superb film.
Do you prefer Hot Fuzz or Shaun of the Dead?
Easily Hot Fuzz.
Really?
But the reason for that is being I'm not a big fan of zombie films, and I'm more of a fan of action films. Okay. And in Shaun of the Dead, it was kind of a Simon Pegg comedy film for the first half, and then a zombie film for the second half. And then
Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah. Like, it got quite zombie filmish at the end.
Oh, definitely. But yes. The first half, the main criticisms I have seen with Hot Fuzz is that the first half is crime caper film and the second film is action adventure film, and there is a very clear differentiation between the two.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very clear cut between the two, whereas I haven't seen anything saying that Shaun of the Dead had that same differentiation. Like, the first half is zombie film, but it's a build-up. And the second
first
half is
comedy film.
Oh, but the whole film's zombie film. The whole film's zombie film.
The comedy film. No, the first half is comedy film. The second half is a zombie film.
Like, no.
There are comedy aspects to the second half, and there are zombie aspects to the first half, but...
Yeah, but that's why it's much more smooth, because the first half is comedy with bits of zombie, and the second half is zombie with bits of comedy.
Shut up.
No, but...
Shut up.
Look, I like both of the films a lot.
You wanted to do this fucking podcast when we were both smashed?
Yeah,
you're... Shut up!
Fuck you, drunkie.
Okay, the thing is, it transitioned into a zombie film. We can both agree on that.
Yeah.
But I am not...
But the zombie...
What part of shutting up do you not understand?
Okay.
So, it transitions into a zombie film. I am not the biggest fan on zombie films. It has to be a pretty good zombie film for me to get keen on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a huge fan of shitty action films. So, in Hot Fuzz, when it transitioned from Simon Pegg comedy into action film... I was more than happy to watch action film and enjoy the comedy aspects of that.
I agree. I understand that.
This
but
is
the same,
why I preferred Hot Fuzz. Too.
But my point is that in the first case...
I do not envy myself, my future self, for having to edit this nonsense.
I actually remember a point I was about to make before
yes,
I came in.
Yes, all right.
I think the point of people who pro Sean but anti Hot Fuzz is that... Sean has a gradual development from comedy to zombie film.
Yep.
Whereas Hot Fuzz is a comedy murder mystery and then very abruptly becomes an action film. And the film doesn't feel connected between the two. It feels abrupt and sort of unconnected, I suppose.
I would disagree. I think there's a specific moment in Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, I agree. I can see the point and I see it's deliberate, but I think it's... more cleverly, more subtly, and better done in the first film, Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I like films a lot. I like both films a lot.
Yeah.
And I would disagree with most of the... Like, if you just speak to Michael,
yeah.
he would definitely shit on Hot Fuzz a fair bit.
Wow.
I think it's really good. He thinks it's good. I think it's, like, an excellent film.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Shaun of the Dead is a classic. I put Shaun of the Dead in my top 20 films.
Wow.
Hot Fuzz I'd put in my top 100, probably. 60.
I believe that Hot Fuzz was actually my favorite film of last year.
It's pretty good. I'm trying to think what else came out last year. What's it called? Prestige come out last year?
Possibly.
Well, that might have taken precedence for me.
Really?
You
were that keen on the Prestige?
Yeah, I love that film.
I enjoyed it, but it wasn't all that for me.
I don't know what it is about that film. I love it.
I can see why some people would be mad keen for it.
I am very mad keen for it.
I appreciate that.
Not quite as mad keen as I'm here. We're going to get into
Oh, yes.
As The Dark Knight. I thought The Dark Knight was possibly...
Are you mocking
possibly,
me now?
The best. And I'm mocking you. At the same time, I'm actually being honest. The best film of 2008 is The Dark Knight.
I was sadly disappointed by The Dark Knight.
I disagree.
And I don't understand why people really enjoy it so much. And that disappoints me again as well.
Why did you dislike it?
It was too busy.
I disagree.
It was
how so?
There was too many storylines going on. It didn't seem to know where it started and where it wanted to go.
See, I found it very neat and very... As a writer, I was a writer watching this film. I was going, I thought it was masterful, the way that they combined all these different story threads, made it coherent
I felt that there was a lot of tangents happening.
No. Really, I found there was bits where they like...
Found that some of the characters weren't really bond. I wasn't really bonding with many of the characters. Bonded with Gary Cole.
Oh, he was wonderful. Oldman. He's the most sympathetic character of the film, I think, by country mile.
And Batman's technical advisor.
Morgan Freeman. He's smiling in every shot.
Yeah. I loved every scene that those guys were in.
Yep.
Batman, I found horribly one-dimensional.
I disagree.
Bruce Wayne, I found horribly two-dimensional, as to his girlfriend. I like Harvey Dent, played by...
Aaron Eckhart.
He's wonderful in everything.
He is. And I think that's...
He was good, but I didn't get any... I didn't find the Joker to be particularly engaging. I found two moments of the Joker to be really Joker-esque.
Yeah.
Like the pencil trick, and when he was dressed up as a nurse and blowing up a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I went, yes, that is the Joker doing what the Joker does. And everything else was the Joker doing and what the Riddler does.
I disagree completely. Look, I have to confess straight up that my favourite Batman bad guy since I was a kid has always been the Riddler. So, look, I'm going to admit, maybe you're right. Maybe what I was liking so much about the Joker was his Riddler-ness.
Yeah.
But I disagree because he was such an agent for chaos. The Riddler's so logical. I have to admit, I'm not a fan of the comics. Like what I think about Batman and Batman villains. I've never read any of the comics.
You don't have to defend yourself. Apparently, like 98% of the world agrees with you, and I'm in this disappointed 2% of the world who didn't enjoy The Dark Knight.
Even more interesting that you didn't enjoy The Dark Knight, and there's people who didn't.
Yeah.
But people who didn't, most of them, from what I've seen, seem to like the Joker. Because people who didn't like everything, they said it was a bit shit, but thank God Heath Ledger was there to make it awesome. And I find it interesting that you didn't like Heath Ledger.
Yeah, no, I didn't find him that.
I'm not going to hit on anyone.
I'm going to make enemies just by holding that opinion.
No, look, I'm not going to make you an enemy.
Oh, you won't, but people on the podcast may. They'll be like, fucking Dan Beeson doesn't know anything about cinema.
Not if you put that bit in there where you sound slightly whiny.
Slightly whiny. The whole podcast is me being slightly whiny.
Give us some improv questions. I want to talk about improv.
Improv?
Yeah.
That's all I've had. How did you start and what stuff? Like, that's all I've been asking people. You've pretty much run out of time, actually.
Oh, shit.
I'll have to get you on for another one.
I don't really have anything to say about improv anyway, really, to be honest.
You glad to be back?
I am.
You took 6 months off to recover from cancer?
Yes, that happened.
Yeah. So it must have driven you crazy to be housebound for 6 months.
Yeah, no, it was very boring making, yeah. Sitting around home doing nothing.
Still were not bored enough to actually sit down and watch Osmosis Jones, which I lent to you 4 years ago.
No, it was about 3 years ago. Two, maybe.
More than two.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably three.
Easily more than two. Look, I'm pretty sure it's four.
I ask you, internet pod listener person, would you watch Osmosis Jones? What's the sound that Michael just made? Look, I will watch it in the next... I'll watch it before the end of the year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Lies.
Pinky promise. You can hear it right here.
Pinky swear? Okay, that is a pinky swear. Dave is pinky swearing with me that he's going to watch Osmosis Jones.
David, put a microphone to the pinky.
Before the 13th of December 2009, he's going to watch Osmosis Jones and hopefully return
the
mother...
No, not 13th. 31st.
You said in the next year.
Yeah, sure. Give me a full year, whatever. I meant by the end of this year.
Oh, yeah. But that's
Dan has to edit this podcast.
I hate everyone. I hate every person. I hate every motherfucker at this party who has ummed and ahed their way through an interview.
This This house has a Thunderbolt car. This stupid house has a Thunderbolt car in its packaging.
Oh my god. Okay. Well, I think that's I think that's enough of David Messingham.
That was good.
You should have heard me bawling you out at the beginning of this podcast.
Yeah, that's... Look, my favorite improviser isn't Michael. It's Dan.
Yay, I'm going to edit that in. All right, thank you very much, David Messingham, improviser's favorite player to play with.
I've still got another one of these to edit.